This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn and Julian. Now, in about half an hour, we're going to be discussing the upcoming second stimulus package, which is due to be announced later today. Professor Noor Ain Sharir of Sunway University will join us on the line to weigh in. Now, we are also running a poll on the subject on the BFM Twitter account, asking you, should the second stimulus package focus more on individuals or businesses? Do let us know what you think. But in the meantime, we're taking a look at the hospitality industry and how it's been affected in this outbreak, because we heard from the F&B industry yesterday about the impact of the MCO on business. You can catch that interview with Jennifer Ong of Happa Group on the BFM app or on Spotify. But today, you know, we're taking a look at the other sectors badly hit by the COVID-19 outbreak, the travel and tourism industry, and more specifically, hotels.
The hotel industry is expected to lose about 560 million in revenue during the MCO, or the Movement Control Order. The Malaysian Association of Hotels said that occupancy could fall to as low as 11%. This is bad business for hotels obviously, and this will ultimately affect employees who work in the industry, including service staff like bellboys, housekeeping workers, cooks, wait staff, and the like.
So the question is, will hotels be able to weather this storm? Now, joining us on the line for the industry perspective is Yap Lip Singh, CEO of the Malaysian Association of Hotels. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Lip Singh. We last spoke to you in January, and the outlook then was already somewhat pessimistic given the outbreak of the virus in China and the decreasing number of Chinese tourists. 3 months on, the situation has become even worse for our local industry. So give us a picture of occupancy rates and business for hotels at the moment, especially under the MCO.
Okay, good morning. When the MCO was first announced, we did a forecast for this period, and it was looking at about 11% occupancy, knowing that there are still guests in-house. But now that the MCO has started, we actually saw occupancy drop lower than that. And then the second phase of it is that when the second MCO was announced, we did a forecast, and we're looking at about 16% for April and 19% for May, but now it's going to drop lower than that. Up to June, it's likely going to be less than 20%. So if the recovery is going to come sometime after this, it's not going to be anytime soon. We're looking at maybe at September or October. It means that hotels have to sustain until that time before they can see any profits at all.
What kind of assistance have you received from the government or will be expecting from the government, especially with the upcoming stimulus announcement?
Well, the first stimulus plan when it was announced, we were expecting a bit of assistance here and there and a bit of boost for tourism. But looking at the situation now, we cannot hope for anything from tourism, but we need cash to sustain. The first package, when it was announced, the electricity discount and all, actually has not been put in place. It's only starting 1st of April. So it means this month alone, the hotel side needs to bear all the costs by themselves. And the biggest chunk of the burden here is actually payroll. And we have not received any assistance on that. And on the other side of it, the Ministry of Human Resources keep repeating that you cannot cut the pay. You cannot put employees on payroll, unpaid leave. So how are the employers going to sustain? Most were going to go out of business.
And Lip Singh, there has been criticism to say that the hotels and hospitality and tourism sectors have been almost the favourite child amidst all of this COVID-19 pandemic disruption. So, and that as a result, you shouldn't be seeing any more from these second stimulus packages. What do you have to say to those criticisms?
I think that's not the right way of looking at it. You have to look at hotel as a very high labor-intensive industry, where a lot of people actually depends on this industry on their livelihood. Every person that works in a hotel goes down the level and they support another 5 or 6 persons in different related industries. And they must be taken care of. Otherwise, when it rolls down the hill, everyone is affected.
Lip Singh, can you give us a profile of your members? Because as I understand it, the hotel, a lot of the hotels in town earn their revenue through the management of big brand names like Marriott or Hilton. So I'm just wondering whether some of your members are getting assistance from the main hotel names as well.
Our membership is actually about 1,000 at the moment, and most of them are 3 to 5 star, which consists of even local brands and international brands. But at times like this, it does not make any difference whether it's a local brand or international chain. The only advantage with the international chain is that they have the SOPs in place. They will roll down the action plan that has been set for the entire group, and it is being implemented, whereas the local brands may not have the proper SOPs, and they may not be able to have a proper action plan to deal with the situation.
And Lip Seng, you referenced the difficult situation that hotels are in with regard to employees. So, Giver, can you maybe clarify this a little bit more for us? What kind of measures have been taken so far to cushion the blow for hotel employees? And what are the limitations for employers in this regard?
Basically, there's nothing that employers are allowed to do. But of course, if we get the agreement from the employees, if the employer gets an agreement, brief the employees that what is the situation now, the company is sustaining losses, and in order to survive, certain measures must be put in place. So the employers are trying to help the employees to retain their jobs. We can issue them unpaid leave and even a pay cut to the employees, even the management part of the employees. But if the most important part is to retain their job so that they still have a job at the end of this.
All right. So this is a job retaining measure that you need to preserve the workings of the hotel industry. And we directed this question yesterday to Jennifer Ong as well. Have you tallied up the numbers as to how much you would need for the hotel industry to get from the stimulus?
If we just focus on the employees' payroll, we are looking at least a 50% subsidy on the payroll, which means that the government has to subsidize part of the payroll for the employees so that they can afford to retain the employees for this period. Otherwise, the employees will have to go out of the business, they have to close down, and everyone loses their job.
What is that number? How many billions is that?
I think if you look at the average of it, is that most of the employees of the hotel industry are on the entry level upwards, which starts about 2,000 ringgit a month per person. So it's going to be 1,000 at least per person, a subsidy from the government.
So what the Prime Minister is due to announce the second stimulus package today. Aside from this, what are your expectations for the hotel industry?
I think the other thing that we look at is to reduce taxes, reduce whatever fees that the hotels need to pay. It reduce even further electricity and utilities. But the other thing that we look at is, of course, the interest rates from the loans. Well, yes, the banks have issued moratoriums and whatnot to the debtors and the loan borrowers, but they are still charging interest. That doesn't reduce burden on the businesses and even individuals. And it's now that the Bank of Ghana has announced it's even being accrued. So the liability on these debtors are actually higher. It doesn't help them at all. Banks need to step up and say, we're going to waive interest for this period. That's important.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Lip Seng. That was Yap Lip Seng, CEO of the Malaysian Association of Hotels, giving us a picture of the kind of difficulties that they're in now under this movement control order. And I mean, the MAH has already come out to say that already about 4% of Malaysian hotel staff have been laid off due to the impact of the coronavirus pandemic, while 17% have taken unpaid leave, another just shy of 10% have received pay cuts. So this comes up to a total of about 17,000 workers affected from a sample size of 57,000.
Mm-hmm. I read somewhere and there was this term that was being coined, which is this deliberate destruction of the economy, because we have to stay at home to prevent the spread of the virus. And as a result, we are deliberately destroying the economy. And I think the main point of policy at the moment is for governments to not only protect workers and individuals, which is a very, very important thing to do, but also to allow these businesses to stay on, not be destroyed. Mm. Otherwise, it would take a very long time to rebuild the kind of infrastructure that has been established all this while.
Yeah, I think we were talking talking this week with Milena Ismirlieva, Life Sciences Director at IHS Market. And you can find that conversation on the BFM app and on Spotify. It was a very interesting conversation. And she made the point that you have to suppress the economy. We are no longer in mitigation. We're no longer in really mitigation mode when it comes to this COVID-19 pandemic. We have to suppress the pandemic and the outbreak of new cases, which means as a result, suppressing domestic economies to ensure that nobody goes out, no everyone stays at home, and that the curve can eventually be flattened. So it's a very difficult decision for governments to take, but at the end of the day, they don't really have much choice.
It's definitely something that's needed. So just gathering all the numbers from that I've read from newspapers and from articles online, people seem to be expecting $100 billion to $150 billion stimulus package, or at least that's what they want. I'm just wondering what will happen if the government falls short of those kind of expectations.
Yeah, and what will happen if we don't see the kind of support for, say, you know, affected industries, as what Lip Singh was talking about? You know, 60% needs to see 60% of support for salaries, you know, which would amount to about 1,000 ringgit a person. And it does remind me a little bit of Singapore's resilience budget. I think they announced a similar measures in that, but that budget came up to astronomical numbers almost, and it's totaled 11% of Singapore's GDP at this point. So, you know, how much room does Malaysia have left to manoeuvre as well? Now, we're heading right now though into the 7:30 news bulletin, and then up next we're speaking with Bharat Joshi, Investment Director at Aberdeen Asset Management, on how the COVID-19 pandemic might affect Indonesia. So that's happening after the 7:30 news. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.